It is another edition of our Fantasy Sports Podcast. Tim Benz and Jeff Erickson with you. Jeff from RotoWire. He's the best fantasy analyst, best fantasy website in the business. You can find him at RotoWire. Lots going on in the baseball world to discuss. As Jeff and I are speaking, the Rangers and Pirates are in the top of the ninth of their game to figure out who wins that series. Texas up 3-2 right now, so it's tough to really pin down much discussion about the Buccos there, or at least in the first two games. I was surprised, Jeff, that they did what they did in the first game to get that victory.
Yeah, well, they got to the Rangers' bullpen, and that's if the Rangers have an Achilles heel, it's their bullpen. You know, Dane Dunning went like 5 2/3, if I recall correctly, and only allowed one run. But then, you know, the floodgates opened after he left, and they've had a hard time getting games to the ninth. Will Smith has been a pretty decent reliever for them. He's been taking most of their save chances. Jose Leclerc has been a big disappointment so far this season. Lots of walks. They've had other problems, too. And for a team that spent a lot of money the last two off seasons, whether it's Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, John Gray 2 years ago, and then this offseason, obviously, Jacob deGrom, Nate Eovaldi, and Andrew Heaney, they've really spent a lot in the free agent market. But they haven't really bolstered their bullpen. And I think they'll do that next. I think you'll see them in the trade market be one of those teams that goes out and tries to add a reliever or two. And, you know, every team will want to add a reliever to it that's a contender. It seems like that's the case. Pittsburgh, you know, they're not sellers right now, but if they were, David Bednar would be a guy that they'd be targeting for sure.
You mentioned Seager. Since he's come back, well, he's had the benefit of facing the Rockies and the Pirates. He's hitting, what, like 348 this month since he's come back, which has got to be encouraging for them and for fantasy owners who have him.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people targeted him in drafts because of the shift limitations. Last year, he had an extraordinarily low BABIP on hard-hit balls in particular and was shifted almost as much as anybody in baseball. A lot of lefty hitters get that treatment. So a lot of people expected a bounce back. Then he got hurt running out of a double, of all things. And then, you know, they kept scoring despite his absence. That's the amazing thing is, Rangers are, I mean, they're scoring a ton of runs right now. Adolis Garcia's had a great year. Semien's had a great year. They've gotten contributions from small, like some bit players like Ezekiel Duran as well. Duran got hurt in this series against the Pirates, but he had been playing really well in Seager's absence to the point where they found other places for him to play once Seager returned.
Seager, 1.059 OPS at this point. It's the time that Jeff and I are speaking. At least for this month anyway, since he's come back from injury. Jeff, what do you make of the Mariners, which you've seen from them, because that's who's next on the Pirates schedule?
A bit of a disappointment so far, Tim. They had such a good year last year, won the playoff series against the Blue Jays, had the gut punch 17-inning loss to the Astros in the next round of the playoffs. But they've had various parts that haven't been firing at the right time, especially offensively. Teoscar Hernandez was their big acquisition the offseason, and while he has 8 homers, he has not hit for average. He's hitting a little bit better as of late, Julio Rodriguez has not been that first-round pick that we all expected. Not been terrible, but not what you're paying for either. And Colton Wong, who they acquired in the trade with the Brewers, has just been abysmal to the point where he's losing playing time to Caballero, who is a kid who coming from Arizona in 2019, not a prospect really at all, that is just getting a chance. And they're just trying to find something, anything out of that spot. Jared Kelnick's been a revelation. You know, he's a post-hype sleeper, really a guy that finally cashed in 2 years after he got the promotion. You know, we all expected him to hit the ground running. We get spoiled with some of these top prospects. Sometimes it takes a while. A-Rod got sent down 3 times at the start of his career. Aaron Judge struck out 45% of the time in his first call-up. Even Mike Trout struggled in his first call-up. So, you know, sometimes, you get Acuna where they're great right away, and we expect that. But the real truth is, more often than not, these prospects struggle the first couple of times out. So he's been great, and he's even hitting lefties now, which has been pretty good. The starting rotation has been solid, except they lost Robbie Ray for the season. So
yeah.
Fifth starter is a little bit of a black box, but Bryce Miller, the rookie they called up, has been fantastic.
And he's starting tonight, I believe. So
you'll miss him.
Yeah, so they'll miss him, which is certainly a good thing for the Pirates. Miller, to this point, 2-1 with a 1.42 ERA, and Seattle had lost 4 of 6, losing 2 of 3 in series to Atlanta and Boston. I mean, no real shame there. And then they're doing what everybody's doing, beating up on the A's, who are in last place. I mean, the Mariners right now, again, as we tape up before the finale of that series, they're sitting at 24-24 in fourth place in the West, but it's still in front of Oakland, and it's almost impossible to be behind Oakland at this point.
Right.
Jeff, they're 10-40, which is the worst start since the 1932 Red Sox. I mean, who gets moved off of this team as far as fantasy owners to keep track of?
Well, there's Estuary Ruiz is almost a top 10 fantasy player with his 25 stolen bases. And he's hitting for average, scored in the 20s and runs. Brent Rooker for a while led baseball in OPS, so he's been a good story for the A's, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. Pitching wise, there are no heroes here. Their run prevention is hideous. The A's have done a Rachel Phelpsian job of tearing apart this franchise, and you know it shows. And you know, the fan base is demoralized. The players are demoralized, to be honest. I mean, this was a team 2 years ago, Tim, that was a playoff contender, and they just absolutely tore the whole thing down. You hate to see it, but they've completely poisoned the Oakland market. The Oakland market was already shaky to begin with, in fairness. The stadium issues there have been lingering over this team for the last 20 years. Ever since they put up Mount Davis to appease the Raiders, it's really ruined the character of that ballpark, and it's been run down since then. But there's a lot of misleading false information coming from A's management, ownership level, in terms of what's really going on with the ballpark too. I mean, yes, they've had some bad breaks. San Jose should have been theirs, but Major League Baseball decided to protect San Jose for the Giants, which was kind of unfair. But that's what's leading them to go to Vegas. And there was another hurdle cleared on that just yesterday. So it's looking more and more like the Vegas thing is going to happen in some way, shape, or form. On the field, though, yeah. They've got some young pitchers, starting pitchers that could be okay. Their bullpen is historically bad. Just really awful. And they've had guys, you know, go on the IL, too. Zach Jackson's on the IL right now. Trevor May just came off the IL. He was dealing with some anxiety issues. Someone that might, if he gets it together, might get traded. But there's not a whole lot of hope to see here on the pitching side, especially.
Big night tonight, Jeff, in terms of some, I would say, fairly high profile guys. Fantasy interests abound. Guys like McClanahan, who's having a great season for Tampa. Tony Gonsolin, who's been good since coming back. He's on the mound tonight. Who else is out there? Alcantara, who's had a rough start this year. That's for sure. 1-5 with an ERA over 5.
Coors tonight, too, no less.
What's that?
And in Coors tonight, no less.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's who they're going up against. They got Colorado tonight. So, yeah, I think a number of guys, we talked about Miller already, but certainly a lot of fantasy eyes all over the place this evening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tyler Wells is another guy they might want to mention, too, from Baltimore.
Yep. And the thing is, like Baltimore is playing sneakily really good ball. They got it to within 2.5 games of the Rays. They lost yesterday, but so did the Rays. Rays lost 20-1 yesterday. Huh. The dam really broke after Taj Bradley left, and Bradley wasn't even good. He gave up 4 through 4. But then they piled on a 6th the next inning and then had 2 position players pitch the final 2 innings of that game. Toronto needed that win in a bad way. Toronto a week and a half ago swept the Braves. Start of a 10-game homestand. And they're like, okay, we're in great shape here. Got 2 division rivals coming. And they lost 6 out of 7 to the Yankees and the Orioles. Orioles swept them. A couple of gut punch losses mixed in there. They had the sign gate. They had the sticky hands gate. They had a whole lot going on. They had to get out on the road, kind of cleanse themselves a little bit.
I mentioned Wells. His whip, Jeff, is 0.79, best in the majors right now through 8 starts and 9 appearances. So that's another guy to watch. And as far as, let's see here, I'm looking for Mitch Keller. Where does he sit on that? His whip was in the top 10. It's at 0.99. I imagine some fantasy owners who have him were upset that Derek Shelton pulled him before he had 1 more inning, I think, left in him the other night.
Yeah, probably so. I always think better too soon than too late, though.
That's fair.
I mean, I understand, you know, especially because, you know, the Pittsburgh bullpen's been a strength. You know, it's been something that, you know, maybe it's coming back to earth a little bit. But you know, you got a young pitcher who's really having a great breakout season. Don't want to overextend him. Don't want to have him pitching under duress with a lot of fatigue. But yeah, especially while the Brewers are kind of keeping the Pirates hanging around. I mean, I think they were tied yesterday going in. So I mean, it's been one of those where, hey, this is still alive. The Cardinals are heating up right now. They finally figured out how to fix their Cardinals devil magic machine. So you know, watch out for that. But at the same time, this is a gettable division.
Good pitching matchup for that first game on Friday with Keller and George Kirby, who's 5-3 yes. with a 2.62 ERA and a WHIP of 1.01. For gamblers out there, I kind of like the under in that one, at least the under through six, if you can get that bet down.
Yeah, George Kirby rarely ever walks anybody. It's really remarkable.
He has five walks. His strikeout to walk ratio is 47-5.
Is that good? We like that. Yeah. And the funny thing is Kirby got hit around a little bit early in the season. He's really kind of righted the ship. He's becoming the pitcher that everybody expected when he was an early draft pick. When he got the promotion last year, finished strong last year. Yeah. He and Logan Gilbert have been great. Obviously they have Luis Castillo and they have Bryce Miller. So that's a good rotation. When Marco Gonzalez is your five, you're doing pretty good.
All right, Jeff, before we go again, Jeff Erickson with us from RotoWire. Check out his work there. Best fantasy analyst from the best fantasy site in the business, RotoWire. What have you made of what you've read so far from various OTA camps? And was there a Twitter, so to speak, when it came to the Aaron Rodgers injury with his ankle right away in New York?
Oh, yeah, that was fun to see that, the freak out online. Seeing Zach Wilson trending on Twitter. Never change, guys. Never change. Appreciate you.
That was something that caught our eye over at Steelers OTAs, came across everybody's phone at the same time as we were watching practice there. I figured it was something that was probably overblown. But, you know, one thing to note here, Jeff, and I'll just keep it provincial for a second here, and this is the subject of a story I'm writing in the next day or two for the Trib, and that is, I know a lot of folks are looking to see the Steelers be more explosive offensively this season, and I think they will be. But this is not going to be a wing-it-around offense still. I mean, I think they are trying to become more explosive by winning on first and second down a lot. Like, get to those manageable situations for Kenny Pickett. They did not bulk up as a, you know, greatest show on turf team offensively. They bulked up by making the offensive line better, drafting a huge tight end, and I think they're banking on Najee Harris to be healthy for 16. I wouldn't devalue Najee all that much just because there's a lot of talk about the Steelers trying to score more points.
No. Oh. Quite the contrary. I'm big on Najee this year. I like how he finished the season last year. I mean, you were one to highlight this last year, how much the Steelers hit his foot injury.
Oh, yeah.
Last year. And, you know, I think that's, you know, assuming there's no setback, I mean, and that's something, well, you got to watch training camp closely for. You got to watch everything and see if he's getting the reps even. But, you know, it's a huge difference in the offense, too. Because, you know, yeah, they want to control the ball. They want to be old school a little bit there. And, you know, they don't want to expose Pickett too much. They don't want third and long. That's, you know, you don't want to get in a case here where, okay, it's third and long and they're going to check it down. You got to avoid that scenario there. That's what they couldn't do for two-thirds of the season last year before they got – they were a lot more efficient in the second half of the season, Christmas night notwithstanding. You know, it was a much more palatable offense to watch Pickett, but they're never going to ask as much from Pickett as other teams. You're not going to see, you know, and the thing is, you're in a division where you've got Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and you can't compare yourself to that. And in a conference where you also added Rodgers, you've got Mahomes, obviously, you got Allen, obviously. It's just a sick, sick conference right now in terms of quarterbacks. Know who you are and steer into that. Rather than trying to keep up with the others.
Jeff, really appreciate the time. Tell people what they can get at RotoWire and tell us how you did with the golf tournament over the weekend, the PGA. I don't know who you had going in your fantasy leagues or if you gambled on it a little bit, but how did that turn out for you?
So I enjoyed the tournament like everybody else. The course won. It was a beautiful course. Obviously, the Michael Block story was awesome. Brooks was amazing, obviously. My DFS lineup was terrible. So, you know, I went Rahm instead of Scheffler. You know, I, you know, I had a lineup that was didn't pay up for any of the big stars. I stayed 9,000 and below, and you know, it's supposed to be like a cut maker lineup, and I think I went 3 of 6. So yeah, I didn't, you know, my personal interest didn't really align with my watching interest, but I still really enjoyed watching the tournament. Should be a good one this week too, down at Colonial. That's a great track.
Jeff, thanks. And people, just go to rotowire.com.
Check us out, rotowire.com/free. Get you a free peek behind the paywall. No credit card required, as always.
Jeff, thanks. We'll do it again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.